to the book of Psalms, chapter 37. Psalms chapter number 37. Pray for those that are not able to be with us today. We have several sick. Some are even here that's not feeling well. But we appreciate you coming on anyway and being in the Lord's house. It's an encouragement to this preacher. I appreciate you praying for us this week. We were in a little small church, and they'd run probably about, I don't know, maybe 17, 18, 20, something like that. But I watched God, and I said that correctly. I watched God breathe life into that little handful of people. I mean, God set them, the preacher, and I was on my way home yesterday, and the preacher, he sent me a text, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "this thing's getting big." God can get big in a little church. He can get big in any church. He can get big in your life. He said, "This thing's getting big." He said, "All my members are calling me." They said, "Preacher," and I'm talking about already been in church 5 nights, and we getting out late. He said, "Preacher, they called wanting to meet back tonight, last night, and then got church this morning." He said, "We're going to go back. They all wanting to go. We're going back." I sent him a text this morning, said, "How'd it go?" He said, "Brother, it was wonderful. It was great." So we had a wonderful time. Just our little handful got in there testifying and praying and praising the Lord and shouting the victory. I watched that. I watched that. I watched a man probably in his 40s, I assume was in his 40s. The pastor said this on Friday night. He said his members, though few in number, had done more visiting this past week trying to get people in than in any meeting that they'd ever had. Amen. Knocking doors, trying to get folk in. In fact, what lit the fire, one of the things that lit the fire was on Wednesday night. A man I assume was close to 40, possibly in his 40s, walked the aisle and got gloriously saved on Wednesday night, and he had been invited to church that day. Him and his wife had been invited to church that day. They are on fire for the Lord. Amen. I mean, you're going to serve the Lord. It's going to involve a sacrifice. I promise you that. It beyond wore me out. I mean, it just drained me completely. And then had that long drive yesterday. And yesterday was my 29-year anniversary and took most of the day of my anniversary to get home. But if you're going to serve the Lord, it's going to involve a sacrifice. Right. "Well, preacher, I would serve the Lord, but I'd have to not do that. It'd be inconvenient." Well, you probably won't ever serve the Lord if convenience is an issue. Amen. Right. Psalms 37, verse number 1. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and withered as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord." Man, I'm feeling a witness on that. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Glory. The word of God blessing my soul.
Amen.
You remember from last Sunday when we was in these verses that the whole context of Psalm 37 is the wicked people that are permeating this planet. Are you listening? That's why he started out and said, "Fret not thyself because of the evildoers, neither be thou envious of the workers of iniquity." Amen. He's talking about even in that type of a setting and situation, God drops little seed beds of blessings and responsibility down through. "Fret not, neither be envious. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Verse 5, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, thy light, thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while the wicked shall not be. Thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just. See, you're seeing some more of the context of this, of what's going on. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. And there is just truths all down through here. We really almost need to read the whole chapter, but I trust you've read that since last week, and want to encourage you to read it. And we're going to be in this chapter a little while, because I think the Lord has got us tuned into this chapter and is wanting to help us with it. Amen. Because we certainly are living in a world of wickedness, a world of prevalent wickedness. Amen. And seem like the nucleus of true born again unashamed Christians are getting smaller and smaller and smaller, as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. The world was permeated and prevailed over with wicked people. But there was Noah and his wife, his three sons and three daughter-in-laws. Amen. Still just. Bible said that Noah was a just man, a preacher of righteousness. Just because the world, my friend, is given over to wickedness, amen, like we've never seen in our generation, doesn't mean you have to throw down your righteousness. Doesn't mean you have to throw down your arms. Doesn't mean you have to throw away your confidence. Amen. And I believe God's wanting to help us how to live in the midst of a wicked and ungodly world. Amen. Let's pray. Father, help us, I pray, as we look in the Word of God. Save sinners and stir the saints of God. Thank you, Lord, for our visitors being with us today. And I do pray, Lord, that you'll give us help from the Word, help from on high. God, get the glory, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last week in Psalm 37, we kind of got locked into verse number 1, and we dealt with, and what I'm wanting to do really down through these verses in this chapter, I'm wanting to go through here and just pick out those things that God tells us to do. Isn't that amazing? Dealing with a world of wickedness, God says, here's how you handle it. Do this, do that, do this, do that. All of these are put in our lap. Fret not thyself. That is, don't you do that. Fret, neither be envious. Don't do that. He goes down through here telling us either what not to do, or he's telling us what to do. Trust in the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do. Amen. Do good. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to him. Amen. Things like rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself, verse 7. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Amen. Those things God says, do these things. Or don't do some of these things. You know, I believe our victory comes down to that. What we do and what we don't do. Right. Most of the time I do what I'm not supposed to do. I focus on what I'm not supposed to focus on. I listen to voices that I'm not supposed to listen to. I concentrate on the negative. I look at what I shouldn't look. And it takes my spiritual life down instead of focusing upon the Lord. Sometimes I look at people. Sometimes I look at problems. Sometimes I look at the pleasures of this life. Sometimes I look at prosperity and the need of it and so on and so forth. And it gets my mind off of the Lord and my spiritual joy drains out the bottom. Oh, but in this chapter, thank God, God is going to help us to show us this is what you do if you're wanting to live a godly life in an ungodly world. This is what you do, or this is what you don't do. Amen. Fret not thyself. Don't let it in. Don't let it happen. Don't allow it. If God says fret not, that means it's possible for you to fret not. If God says for you to not be envious of evil workers of iniquity, that means it's possible. That means it is your potential and it is your choice. Amen. Amen. That's right. Let me give you this before we move on. Why? I want to ask you a question. I mentioned this last week. The problem I have out of verse 1, the one that bothers me more is the fret not. Because that fret not has to do with being blazing up with anger and displeasure, grieved, or even vexed. I have a problem with that one. That's the one I have to pray about. But now that latter one in verse number 1, neither be envious of workers of iniquity. I don't have a problem with that. I really don't. I don't have a bit of envy. I don't have a bit of jealousy. Amen. For that wicked crowd. I wouldn't swap place with one of them. I wouldn't swap places with all of them. Amen. Right. Hello. Amen. Right. Some of you are nod your head like that right there. But here's something you need to understand, and I don't understand this. I need help with it. Why is it that people that go to church are so envious of worldly people? And when I talk about worldly people, I'm talking about those that's in the limelight. I'm talking about those that have got the big names. Amen. And stardom, if you will. And they look at those with envy. And America, among the world, Brother Carroll, spends billions of dollars every year just to look like them, that worldly crowd.
Right. Right.
Amen. Man, the preacher and his family was eating at Dairy Queen there in Winchester, Tennessee, Friday night after the service, and there were several young people in there, and I pointed it out. I said, "Brother, I want you to look at that pair of glasses that young girl's got on. It looked like something from 1940. You remember back, way back, I'm talking about even before my time. Most of you won't remember that. But you remember them old, big old, odd-shaped glasses that come up to a point? I mean, it looked like something that Lucille Ball wore or something back way back in the 40s looked like. Amen. And listen, if it's not in the fad and the fashion, if it's not in, you couldn't hold a gun to their head and get them to wear them clothes.
Right.
That's right. I remember back. Now, I don't want to get sidetracked here. I got more to preach than this stuff. But I remember back years ago, I'm talking about when I was in school, those Converse tennis shoes. It was flat, orange. We wore orange Converse tennis shirts. Man, that was in. Well, that went out. Of course, it's in now, you know. But before it come in, you couldn't have said, here's you a whole store of Converse tennis shoes. Wear them. I ain't wearing them ugly looking things, but you let a movie star or a country music singer or somebody out there start wearing it, all of a sudden it's in, and they'll start, oh man, I want me some Converse tennis shoes.
Right.
But I want to tell you what that is. That is bondage, friend.
Right.
That's exactly what that is, bondage. Letting other people, fads, fashions control you, influence you. Amen. They come up with the weirdest hairstyles that ever was. And I want to tell you, people in church will start whacking their hair and cutting their hair and fixing their hair to match that crowd. Let me read you some verses out of our Psalms 37 to see if that crowd should be envied. You should consider their end before you envy them too much. You should consider their end before you envy them too much. And let me give you some verses to think about. Look at verse 2. For they shall be soon cut down like the grass and withered as the green herb. Verse number 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Verse 10. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Verse number 13. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Their day is coming. Why would I be envious of a crowd that is so against God, and their day is coming? Look at verse 15. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Verse number 17. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. Look at verse number 20. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs, and shall be consumed into smoke, shall they consume away. Does that sound like somebody you want to envy? Does that sound like somebody you want to be jealous over? Does that sound like somebody you want to be like them? Amen. Look at verse 34. Verse number 34. Wait on the Lord. Keep his way. He shall exalt thee and to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, they shall see it. Verse number 38. Look at verse number 38. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. At the end of the wicked shall be cut off. How many times does the Lord have to say something in one chapter? And though people in church know that, church folk, I'm talking about church folk. I'm not talking about lost people that go to church. I'm talking about even professing believers, Brother Brad. They know that the wicked is against God. They know they live their life against God. They hate God's people. I've showed you that and going to show it to you again in Psalm 37. Buddy, this crowd, they are against God's people. Look at verse 12. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. Are you listening? Hey, I'm telling you, the wicked of this world is against the people of God. It's always been that way. It's always been that way from Genesis all the way through. And it's that way today. The world is not a friend of the church. Hello, amen. The world is not a friend of the church. My question is, why is the church so much a friend of the world? James chapter 4 makes it very clear. Whosoever be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Amen. That's not talking about being a friend of sinners. God wants us to be friendly with sinners, not so as to learn their ways and then pull us down. I've often said this. How do you know when to draw the line of how much time to spend with somebody that's lost? You draw the line when they start influencing you instead of you influencing them. Amen. How many times I've seen people start being friendly with sinners, next thing you know, they've thrown their spiritual life out, they're missing church, laying out of the house of God. Next thing you know, they're gone into a far country. That's never the will of God. The only purpose, hello now. Let me preach right here a minute. I don't know why I'm on this. The only reason that you should be a friend of sinners is to win them to God. Hello, that's good preaching, Preacher Rackley. You show me any other reason. You can't have fellowship with sinners. What fellowship is light with darkness? You can't have fellowship with sinners. There's nothing in common. You're saved. They're lost. Amen. Why then am I to be a friend of sinners? It's just like Jesus. He was a friend of sinners. His goal, Brother Carroll, and purpose was to win them to Christ. Win them to the Lord. Amen. 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 That's right. Hello. Everybody listening?
Amen.
Coming through loud and clear?
Amen.
That's right. It's never the will of God. Never, never, N-E-V-E-R, do I need to spell it? It is never the will of God that a saved person get hooked up with a lost person. Young people, listen to me. It's never the will of God that you date a lost person. Never, never, absolutely, never the will of God for you to date somebody that is not a born-again Christian. Amen. There have been a very few exceptions to the rule. But generally, the rule is the lost person will pull the saved person out and pull the saved person down. Amen. There have been a few exceptions to that where the lost person actually got saved, but that still don't change the rule. Amen. If they're not saved, and there's a lot more conditions, amen, for somebody being a candidate than just whether or not they're saved or not. And that's a whole nother message. That's a whole nother line of thought. Amen. That's right. Brother Aldridge said, I believe it's Brother Aldridge told me, he said, the first thing I want to ask anybody that would be interested in my daughter is, do you have a job? Before I even ask them, are you saved? I want to know, do you have a job? I mean, I don't have a verse for that. That was just him. Amen. There's probably nothing wrong with that, because if they do get married, you'll have to keep them up if they don't have a job. Say amen right there. But amen, amen. Why be friendly and seek to have a bond with those that are lost for any other reason than to win them to Christ? Amen. And you won't win them if you don't touch them. You won't win them if you're not having some kind of a contact with them. Amen. That's right. But my friend, I better get off that, or I'm going to preach a whole time on that. God help us. Why be envious? Why be envious and jealous of those that are lost without God? Amen. Let me move on. Let's deal with something else. Last week we dealt with, in verse 1, fret not thyself. We also dealt last week with neither be envious against the workers of iniquity. Verse number 3, I want to deal with this one this morning. And we've done heard it testified to, trust in the Lord. How do you deal with an ungodly world? How do you deal with ungodly people? How do you deal with ungodly problems? How do you deal with these things? Trust in the Lord. Amen. You say, preacher, that's basic. That's elementary. Hey, if you get beyond trust, you've done went too far. If you've excelled beyond your faith in the Word of God, in the promises of God, and your trust in God, your unwavering, unshakable trust in the Lord, you've went too far. That word trust, how do you deal with them, preacher? Trust in the Lord. You can't trust in them. Those Brother Brad mentioned in verse 1, you can't trust in them. You can't trust a worker of iniquity. Come on now. You can't trust a worker of iniquity. You can't trust an evildoer. That right there don't even need explanation, does it? That's pretty self-explanatory. That's a given, isn't it? Somebody's an evildoer, that means they do evil. And if they do evil, they'll do you evil. Amen. Well, hallelujah. You can't trust people that are involved in sin and wickedness. Well, they're handsome, preacher. They're pretty. They're nice. Da-da-da. They're popular. Who cares? Who cares what their social status is if they're lost and they're wicked? I want to tell you, friend, you can't trust them. You can't trust them. Amen. Boy, I'm feeling pulled in that direction so much this morning about young people. Oh, they listen to those sweet nothings. They listen to that. But listen, if they're not saved, they're not hooked up with righteousness, which means right living, doing right. So that means their life is given to doing wrong, and they'll do you wrong. Amen. How many young girls have had their hearts ripped out of them with a sorry, no-count husband that wasn't saved, didn't care about righteousness and the things of God, and shortly in their marriage become unfaithful to their wife? How many husbands have been brokenhearted and their dreams shattered because of a wife that wasn't committed to God and wasn't interested in righteousness? Walked off and left them. I know there's Christian homes that split up as well. I know that, and that's a shame and a disgrace that divorce has hit the church as much as it hits the world. Run the study yourself on the statistics on that. You'll find out that it's about equal. You know what I believe that's telling me? Not only that the devil's behind it, but that tells me very plainly that our churches are far more worldly than we think. Because, listen, the Spirit of God won't bust your home up. No, sir, buddy. You can believe that. Hello. Amen. I'll say amen to my own preaching this morning. That's right. The Spirit of God won't hook you up with somebody that's going to run off and leave you one day. No. No, sir, friend. You'll get... Listen, I'll tell you right now, buddy. Listen, that crowd, even though they claim to be saved, and they start living a worldly, carnal life, soon as they get you, they got you, and they start living a carnal life, next thing you know, you got a mess on your hands. Amen. Listen, I want to tell you, and I'm going to get off this right now. I'm going to preach on this other. You ought to write down on a piece of paper the conditions and the qualifications of somebody that you're looking for. And see how many of them are spiritual and see how many of them are scriptural. Most people don't even have a clue. Most young people, they couldn't write down three qualifications. Three things that I really want to look for. Some girls, if they got hair on their head, they're qualified. If they got a vehicle, they're qualified. If they got money, little money, they're qualified. If they're handsome, they're qualified. You better get past that, friend.
Right.
You better get past that because there will come a day that handsome will turn into her ugly.
Right.
Yeah. And them muscles will turn into bags.
Right.
And sags. That's right. And that hair will disappear. Say amen, Brother Silas.
Amen. Yes, that's right.
And mine's leaving all the time, seem like. But here he said, trust in the Lord. Let me give you the definition of that word, trust in the Lord. The word trust in the Lord means to be confident in, to be sure of, to be bold about. Amen. Do you realize that the wicked people that are permeating this planet that is dealt with in Psalms 37, they are geared to chip away your confidence and trust in the Lord? The devil knows that if he can get you doubting, he can get you defeated. He knows that if he can get you doubting God, your confidence has been chipped away and cracked and shattered in the Lord. The devil knows that if he can get you doubting, he can get you distracted. He can get you discouraged. He can get you distant. He can get you, my friend, defeated if he can get you doubting. Because the devil knows how strong your faith is. He can get you weak in your faith and get you weak in your trust in the Lord. Then he's got you where he wants you. Amen? Oh yeah. That crowd in verse 1, the wicked that's talked about in this chapter, you can't trust them. You can't trust them. You can't trust their lifestyle. You can't trust their choices. You can't trust them, but you can trust the Lord. David said, and God was saying to David, dealing with wicked people, he said, here's one thing that you've got to do besides the fret not and neither be envious of the workers of iniquity. He said, just trust the Lord.
Right.
Miss Candy talked about that in her testimony. And listen, how many of us can relate to that testimony? The circumstances may be a little different. Hers was about her mother. What is yours about? But you're afraid to put it in the hands of God because you're afraid of what choice he might make.
Right.
You're afraid that he might make a choice in your life. But we'll testify, the Lord knows best, preacher. Oh, does he? Sure he does. But do we put it in his hands and say, Lord, you know best. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you with this. No. You know why? Miss Candy, you were just being human. And we can relate to that. I can relate to that. You know why? That many times we are hesitant, Brother Randy, of putting something in the hands of God as we think that He may make a choice contrary to what we want. That's bottom line right there. How many times, though, through the Scriptures did people get what they wanted? Wasn't what was right. It wasn't what was best. It was what they wanted. Oh, the children of Israel whined and cried around all the time till they had a king. We want a king. Give us a king. Was that the will of God? No, sir, it wasn't. They wanted to have a king over them, Brother Carroll, just so they could be like the other nations. Boy, did they ever regret that. Boy, didn't they ever regret that. Amen. The children of Israel eating angels' food, manna from on high, from heaven. Best thing that ever come across their lips, manna. But then after they'd eat it a while, we want meat. Give us meat. They kept whining around about the provisions of God. Brother Webb, they kept whining around about God giving them His best, and it wasn't good enough. Boy, you better watch it. Hello, friend. You better watch it when God's best is not good enough. When God's best is not good enough, you'll start going to the world for trying to find the world's good enough. You'll try to go to the world for satisfaction. But the Bible said, I believe it's in Psalms either 106 or 107. I believe it's 106. It said that while it was yet in their mouth, He gave them their request and He sent leanness to their soul. He gave them what they wanted. But coming with that grant of what they wanted come leanness of soul. In other words, while they chewed on it in their mouth, they knew, uh-oh, this is not near as good as we thought it was going to be. I wish we had the manna back. Trust in the Lord. Listen, have confidence in Him. I wrote this down. Trust and faith in the Lord will counter the wicked in verse 1. It don't matter what they're trying to do. The wicked in verse number 1, if you're trusting in the Lord, it will cancel out the wicked's efforts in your life. It will counter them. But it not only will counter the wicked in verse 1, it will anchor the saints in verse number 2 and 3. It will anchor, or verse number 3, it will anchor you. It will keep you from falling apart when the world is falling apart around you. The trust that you have in the Lord will stabilize you. Now let me say this, dear friend. Sometimes, Brother Brad, we want to trust in the Lord when we have other options. But sometimes when you trust in the Lord, Brother Ron, that's the only option. We know from the Scriptures, Brother Clipper, it's the best option. Has anybody ever went wrong trusting the Lord? Has anybody in here ever found God to be unfaithful in any area that He's promised? Never. So in other words, we can trust Him. Here's the thing, listen, this is being said to Preacher Rackley and everybody here, we're not near as spiritual as we think we are. You know when it'll surface? When your back's against the wall. When something's come up in your life that you didn't see coming. Miss Candy, you didn't see that coming. There it was. Surgery. What? Surgery. Miss Arlene, you didn't see that coming. No. Hey, I want to tell you, buddy, it's hard. It's easy to trust the Lord in the sunshine. It's easy to trust the Lord when you got your kids are well and everything's hunky-dory at home and you got money and your car's running and the dogs is still alive and they're not barking at night. Hey, it's easy to trust the Lord in the positives of life. But I want to tell you that many are the affliction of the righteous. They're coming our way. A man, the this born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. That's what Job said. We'll see your faith surface then. How many of you and I seen when troubles come, quit? I don't even try to keep count. Amen. I don't know what the people I've seen fizzle out or try to put a contract on God. God, I'll serve you if you'll put my home back together. I dealt with a man in South Carolina and his wife, they busted up and they was in the church I was in, and I had a meeting with him. I dealt with him, and I actually dealt with her and him, but I dealt with him, and I'll just mention his first name is Jimmy. I said, Jimmy, I said, now you can't make this a condition on your serving God. Right. I felt that in my heart that he was. Before he even got down on his knees to pray, I felt like that he had a contract in his mind and he's wanting God to sign it. And I said, Jimmy, you can't do that. Now you can't make that a contract. You can't say, God, if I'll serve you and I'm going to live for you, if you'll put my home back together. He said, oh, I'm not preaching, but I still felt he was. I didn't push the issue. You know, I didn't want to call him a liar because I didn't know, but I felt it in my spirit. Proved true that that's exactly what it was. His wife didn't come back, and he fizzled out, got out of church and everything. Are y'all listening? Basic, very simple, basic. How do you deal with a wicked world and wicked people? Trust in the Lord. Don't ever get your eyes off of him. Don't lose, the word trust means confidence. Don't lose your confidence in the Lord. And I can't tell you from a preacher standpoint and a Christian standpoint how many times the devil has tried to get me to lose confidence in the Lord. Trying to get me to lose confidence in prayer. Bottom line, you can say what you will. The only reason people don't pray is that you really don't believe it works. Now I know that's a big pill to swallow, but if you'll just... you can get it down. The reason we don't pray is not that we're too busy. The reason we don't pray and we're suffering in churches today from powerlessness, amen, because of prayerlessness. Well, I don't pray, preacher, don't have time. I know people are busy. I know that. I know there's demands pulling on your life. I know that. I know that you need 48 hours in every day instead of 24. I know that. But still, if we have the confidence, then prayer that it works, we'll make time to pray. I believe that. I believe that. Someone said prayerlessness is practical atheism. Amen. Atheists don't pray. Why? They don't believe. It ain't real. No confidence. Us not praying, guess what that is? It's practical atheism. Are y'all listening to the preacher? One of the old timers, if I knew I was going to deal with this, I'd have brought got the details of it and the saying and who it was. But one of the old time Christians years and years ago, one of the great renowned known men of God, he said, I've got so much to do today that I won't be able to get it done if I don't spend the first 3 hours of my day in prayer. Boy, don't that make us sick. Man, I got so much to do today. Lord, I'll do good to pray over my food. God help us. I heard on the radio, it was last year sometime, I heard on the radio that, and I don't know how they come to that conclusion, they probably did some research and probably asked some Baptist folk, I guess, how much you pray. The end result was that Christians pray less than 30 seconds a day. And probably most of that is a help, Lord, and give me, Lord. Amen. You know why we don't, listen, hey, you know why that many people don't even read this book right here? I'm talking about go to church. After this evening service, the Bible will do this. And it will be laid on the shelf or laid in the kept at church, left at church. or laid out in the car window, and it'll be there till next service time. And then they wonder why my life is falling apart. You know why people don't read this book? You don't have confidence in it.
Right.
Say amen. Amen. I know that's chipping away right there of all of your excuses. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Amen. It's the reason people don't give. Oh, preacher, don't get on give. Well, how can you give without trusting the Lord?
Right.
People that don't give don't trust the Lord. Lord, I can't give this. I got to keep this. Hello, I know I kill most Baptist folk. You get on the offering, you get on giving. Well, you don't mind me preaching about God giving His Son, do you? You don't mind that, do you? You shout about that, you smile about that, but what about God saying to you, give?
Right. Right.
Amen. Well, I believe the reason a lot of people don't give is no faith, no confidence. They don't believe it.
Right.
Amen. Or it's probably like what Miss Candy said, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that because we feel like we need it. We need to keep it. But you've heard me say it, what you give will leave your hand, but it won't leave your life.
Right.
Trust in the Lord, amen. Doubting God is dangerous. And the devil wants to get you doubting. Now keep in mind here, keep in mind back in Psalms 37, who it is that God is telling to trust in the Lord. David. This is a Psalm of David. You see the heading? It's a Psalm of David. You know what that means? David, the giant killer, the king of Israel, the sweet harp player. Amen? God's telling him to trust in the Lord. That's how you deal with ungodly people. You don't trust them. You trust Him. You trust the Lord. You keep your confidence in the Lord. No matter what they do or what they don't do, it's not going to affect me. I'm going to trust in the Lord. He is trustworthy. Well, amen. Sometimes trusting the Lord is all you got. Sometimes walking by faith will lead you in a situation where there's no way out except God intervening in your life. Amen. Children of Israel come out of the land of Egypt. Guess where they were? Wound up at the Red Sea, a dead end, hemmed in on both sides, the sea in front and mountains behind, and Pharaoh's army coming in behind. No way out except God. And what did God do? Huh? What did God do? Did he fail them? No, listen. Oh, listen. God will sometimes lead you to a dead end to show Himself strong and able and sufficient. Sometimes God will lead you in a direction that you look around and you say, God, how am I going to deal with this? When your only option is God and you trust Him and you go to Him and you say, sink or swim, God, I'm going to trust You in this matter. I'm going to serve You no matter what. And watch God. How many times we've watched God take an impossibility and turn it around? How many times have we watched God when there was no way, He made a way? When it looked like that we was going under, and there He was, right on time, just what was needed. Amen. Trust in the Lord. Amen. Trusting in the Lord means when we have need of deliverance, when we have need of direction, when we have need of being defended, when we have need of being developed, we need Him and we can trust Him. Amen. Trust the Lord, lets Him know, lets you know, and gives you peace in your heart that you've got confidence in the Lord. You know why you don't have peace sometimes? You're trusting yourself. You're trusting your own ingenuity. You're trusting what you can figure out and what you can fix. Come on now, if you've lived for God any length of time, there's been times in your life that the only option you had was God. The only option you had was to trust the Lord, and you go to Him, and you're at the end of your rope, and you bow before God, and you say, God, it's either You or nothing. It's You or nothing, amen. And God puts peace in your heart to let you know His hands are trustworthy. You can trust Him. He's never lied. He's never been, listen, He's never, never come up on the shady end of a deal. No. Thank God we can trust Him. Let me give you some things out of this chapter. We can trust Him. We can trust Him because you can't trust people. The Bible says more than once, have no confidence in man. Put no confidence in man. Philippians 2 says put no confidence in the flesh. You certainly can't trust the wicked, as I've already said. So we need to trust the Lord because He is trustworthy. Amen. I thought about this. We need to trust the Lord because those in verse 1 won't help you, won't meet your needs, won't give you peace in the time of the storm. We need to trust the Lord because of verse 12 and verse 14, because they fight against the righteous. Evildoers fight against God's people. Do y'all believe that? We better believe that, because I'm telling you, we're going to see it. We're already seeing it. Anything to do with Christianity and morals and right and holiness and purity. Listen, anything to do with that now is becoming criminal and it's offensive and amen. Right here in the red, white, and blue USA, buddy. Who would have ever thought? Who would have ever thought our country would be in the shape it's in? It burns me up. I tell you, Lord started dealing with me about this chapter because it burns me up when I look at this country and I look at the governmental direction and the political direction of this and the moral direction and the spiritual direction of this country. I get vexed, buddy. I'm telling you, it burns me up when I see people trample on the flag. Y'all see that? Did y'all see that in the news recently? That fires me up, buddy. This past week, trampling. I'm being throwing the American flag down on the ground and trampling on it on purpose to show a defiance this country and said it's free speech. One lady, because she knew and she told and testified on the news, she knew that that flag normally drapes over the casket of them that have given their lives for the Lord. And even other services, police service and other people, you know, have the flag, you know. But then to trample it on, she run in there and grabbed the flag up. She grabbed the flag up, and guess who wrestled her to the ground? The police officers. Why? To get the flag back away from her, to give back to them bunch of hoodlums, to put it back on the ground and trample on it. They said it's free speech. It's not free speech. It's free speech if you don't want to salute the flag. It's free speech if you don't want to pledge allegiance to the flag. If you don't like the flag. If you hate the flag. Say whatever you want to about the flag. But trampling it or burning it, that's not free speech. I'd like to see what them nutheads does up. Excuse me for that. Them knuckleheads. I wonder what they would do up there in Washington if somebody went up there and started had an axe and started chipping away on the side of the White House. Free speech. Free speech. Same principle. We can walk on the flag. Free speech. We can chip away at the Washington Monument. We can cut the post off of the front porch of the White House. Free speech. They better get a hold of that, and they better put a line on it than draw it in the sand and say, "Now this is far enough for this free speech business." Amen. That burns me up. I don't know about it does you. I still got just a little bit of patriotism in me. Amen. Well, I better get off that. Some of you ready to go eat, looks like. Or already have eat or something. I don't know. Amen. Why should we trust the Lord? Verse 17 and also verse 24. The Lord upholdeth the righteous. Why should we trust the Lord, Brother Webb? I like what Miss June McCarricker said back, I don't know, it's probably been a couple of years ago. She made the statement. She said as she was praying about a matter in their life, you know, she said the Lord told her that if you can't trust me with everything, you can't trust me with anything. Miss Wanda had put on her Facebook this week, we can endure anything if we depend upon God for everything. Miss Candy made reference to that same similar statement there a while ago about when she prayed about her mama. Is there anything you can't trust me with? Do you think I'm going to do you wrong? We need to trust the Lord because in verse number 18, look at it. Look at verse number 18. We need to trust the Lord. The Lord knoweth. That's all you need to know. The Lord knoweth. A preacher friend of mine in South Carolina, he's in heaven now. He went through a devastating situation back many years ago. And he drove a truck, and at that time he was driving a truck. And he said he was just going down and down and down spiritually, just about to drop plumb out the bottom. And said he was driving his truck, said he stopped to go in this church one time. Said he just pulled in the parking lot and went in. Didn't know nothing about the church. Went in there, and that old preacher got to preaching on, "He knows. He knows." That was what he preached on. Didn't know that preacher from Adam. Didn't know nothing about who he was. Just slipped in on the back and just sat there. And that preacher got to preaching on, "He knows." And that's all that preacher heard was, "He knows." And he got back in his truck and he said every time he'd change gears, it was saying, "He knows." He said every time it seemed like the tires would turn over, it would say to him, "He knows, he knows, he knows." That's why we can trust the Lord, because he knows. I don't know. I don't know. Why do I not trust the Lord? I don't know. I don't trust the Lord because I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know the outcome of this situation. I don't know the destiny of this decision. I don't know, but I need to trust the Lord. Amen. He knoweth. We need to trust the Lord because of verse number 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We need to trust the Lord because of verse number 28. The Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. Hello. We need to trust the Lord because the Bible said that salvation, verse 39, the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord, and he is their strength in the time of trouble. Why? Trust the Lord. He is your strength. Well, there was one other thing. Let me deal with it real quick. Actually, I've already preached my time out. In fact, I may just wait and deal with this one tonight. But verse number 3, and if you've read this chapter and you've studied this chapter, then you've seen there's times down where God would put two things together, like verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. God would hook these things together, and there is a vital connection between trusting in the Lord and doing good in verse number 3. But I believe the emphasis this morning, let me just give you this right quick. Let me just read you some scripture right quick. You don't have to turn there unless you just want to, but in Psalms chapter 4 and verse number 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Psalms 31, verse number 6. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. Psalm 73, in verse number 28. Psalm 73, 28. Listen to this verse. The Bible says, But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy work. Psalms 115, verse number 10 and 11. Psalms 115, verse number 10 and 11. Trust in, O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Verse 11. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Psalms 118 and verse number 8 and verse 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Verse 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Psalms 125 and verse number 1. They that trust the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. How many of us have quoted Proverbs 3? Verse number 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. But what about verse 26 of that same chapter? For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Amen. Hebrews 10 and verse 35, God talking to the believer said, do not cast away your confidence. Folks, don't lose your confidence in the Lord. He don't owe us explanations. He doesn't have to tell us why or what for or what his reasons are. We just have to trust him. I know I've told this, and let me just mention this quickly. Back when mom and dad died, both back-to-back years, the devil tried to chip away my confidence in the Lord. Because I'd look around and I'd see people not even serving God. Their mom and dad was doing fine. My mom and dad loved God. They were soldiers of the cross. And I mean loved the Lord. And then there they both was gone out of my life. In one in 06 and the other in 07. And the devil started really bothering me. I mean really did, Brother Fultz. I mean I started seeing my joy leave. I started seeing my confidence leave. And it was killing me spiritually. And I'll never forget it. I seen what was happening. You probably could tell it. You probably could tell it. I could tell it. I could see it in my preaching. I could tell it in my desire to study. I could see it. It was chipping away my confidence. The devil was. And I went into prayer one day about that matter. And I said, God, because I knew if I kept going on the course I was on with my confidence being just chipped away out of me, I knew that I would possibly even get out of the ministry. Don't ever put confidence in your flesh. You say, oh no, preacher, not me. Easy, don't ever say I'd never. You better tag it with the grace of God, by the grace of God. And I went to prayer, and God never has yet told me why. And he may never, and that'll be okay if he don't. But I went to prayer, Brother Brad, and I said, Lord, I don't know why you took mom. She was instrumental in me getting saved. I don't know why you took daddy. I don't know why you took them out of our life. It's completely rearranged our whole family structure. I don't know why you done that. And I meant it, Miss Sue, with all that was in me. I said, Lord, I trust you. You don't have to tell me why and you don't owe me an explanation. But I trust you here today. And I'm going to serve you no matter what. And I meant it. And Brother Trav, God flooded my soul with peace. I didn't need peace off of what I knew. I needed peace off of just saying, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you, God. Amen. Ephesians 3 and verse number 12. Listen to this verse right here. Now, this will be our last verse. Ephesians 3 verse 12. In whom we have boldness, talking about Christ, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence for you, which is your glory. Amen. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. How's your confidence today? If the devil can get your confidence, he can get your commitment. If he can get your confidence, he can get your consecration and your dedication and your devotion. If he can get your confidence, lose confidence in church. How many people's done that? They've lost confidence in church. They've lost confidence in preachers because they've got their eyes on maybe preachers that have fallen. But they've not all fallen. They're not all liberals. They've not all gone to the dogs. Brother Brad, there's still a few left. I say that right. A few that's still trying to uphold the right word of God and preach it right. Lord may have just sent us all here this morning. Just let us know that even though we're in a wicked world, we deal with it by fretting not and neither being envious, but also by just trusting the Lord. Just trusting the Lord. Some of you might need just that renewal in that area. Just trust God with everything in your life. And when he impresses you to go contrary to what your flesh wants, trust him. When he's impressing you and leading you to go in this direction and your flesh don't want to do that, trust him. He knows best. And when we get to heaven, I don't know. I don't even know if we'll even be interested. I've heard people say, oh, when we get to heaven, I'm going to ask God a few things. I doubt it. Well, I'm going to ask God, well, why this? Why did you allow that? Or why did you not prevent that? Or why did you didn't stop that? Or why? I don't know that we'll do that.